Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Milwaukee and Wisconsin. We are here, like we are each and every day on The Upswing, to celebrate the possible, right? A quick note, if I may, about my evening last night. We had the basketball banquet for our daughter's sixth grade team. The seventh and eighth grade teams were also there. Just 15 young women on each team. So many proud parents, just hardworking teammates, amazing coaches. And it was just this, I don't know, I still have this amazing feeling in me, like just a great reminder of the power of youth sports in communities. You know, just like small businesses, right? They make our cities glow and grow. And I tell you, you got to support small business and you have to support youth sports in your community, wherever you live. The kids were so proud and, you know, they weren't championship winners or anything, but it's just great to see the smiles on their face and to celebrate all the good. So small business, of course, is also a team sport, right? And today we're talking small business and something we haven't done yet on The Upswing, exploring the world of interior design. Saturday was not only full of St. Patrick's Day celebrations, but it was full of an opening for a brand new studio office and retail space in Shorewood called the Stonehouse Collective, right on Oakland Avenue. Now, I'm far from a home design expert. You can ask my family. I don't have the best design eye in the house. That goes to my wife and daughter. So I wanted to have the founder of Stonehouse Collective on to educate me, but also to help us all learn a little bit more about what we can do to improve our homes on the inside. And since she's fresh off the new store opening, it's prime time for her to showcase all things new and exciting in the wonderful world of interior design. She's a risk-taking entrepreneur who has done some really cool corporate interior design jobs, plotting her next move in the home space and the office space. And something tells me she has this dream to do a restaurant somewhere down the road too. And I tell you, today's conversation over the next hour is also going to be a really good preview for the 2024 Realtors Home and Garden Show, which starts this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Expo Center. If you haven't been to the show lately, I tell you, it's a great walkthrough. You know, easy parking out there at State Fair, 300 area contractors. You got your landscaping, your windows, your doors, your decks, your patios, kitchen, bath design, plumbing, heating, whatever. You can find always, I always like going to the show because I find a tree guy. Like, you always need a tree guy, like that tree in our backyard that's like against the garage. I don't know where to go. So I'm going to the Realtors Home and Garden Show this weekend, and our guest today is going to provide a nice preview for it. In researching and kind of preparing for the show, I found 11 big trends in interior design from Homes and Garden magazine. They called them anything but fashionable fads. So later in the show, I'm going to ask our guest, Anna Franklin, about all of them. Who is Anna Franklin? Well, she's a Wisconsin native, originally from Little Chute in the heart of the Fox River Valley. That's Outagamie County. Go Marty the Mustang, right? Am I right with that? I think I am. She started her career in fund development in Chicago, where she spent 10 years working in the major gift-giving arena. She later relocated to Milwaukee and started her family. Always had this passion for design, so Anna, like many do, kind of started small with a warehouse of supplies, using them to stage home projects while learning about the real estate space. In 2018, she decided to pursue her dream, work in the creative space, started her own firm. And like I said, this weekend, Anna and her team opened Stonehouse Collective, a full-service interior design firm, the company's first brick-and-mortar retail location in Shorewood. It's actually in a former restaurant space that will be interesting to talk to her about. If you know where the former Bonobo Bistro was on Oakland Avenue, before that, it was the North Star American Bistro that was there for years. So converting a restaurant space with a kitchen and a hood into an interior design store, incredibly beautiful and inspiring, but I'm sure it was a little bit of work. So today, we'll talk all things interior design and get the inside story on opening Stonehouse Collective from the founder and CEO, Anna Franklin. Anna's up next, and this is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're really happy to have an entrepreneur as our guest this morning on The Upswing. This weekend, Stonehouse Collective, a Milwaukee-based full-service interior design firm specializing in family homes and boutique commercial spaces, opened its first brick-and-mortar retail location in the Village of Shorewood, right on Oakland Avenue. Founder and CEO Anna Franklin joins us today. Anna, how are you this beautiful day?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful morning. I stopped at the shop this morning. Things are still moving and grooving, and I think my adrenaline is still very much pumping.
Yeah. Well, have you fully recovered from the store opening? I mean, that getting to a point where, A, you remodeled a restaurant space into an interior home decor boutique, essentially. That had to have been a lot of work, so... How you feeling? How did the grand opening go?
Yeah.
Give us the full overview.
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling, like I said, just super energized, really excited. It was by no means an easy task. Honestly, the last couple of months and even weeks to days were just absolutely insane. People kept saying, like, oh my gosh, are you pre-recording this? This must be pre-recorded. And I'm like, no, like legit, this is real time things happening. Yes, we don't have flooring. Yes, we don't have tiling. But I promise everyone keeps saying it's going to be done. And I would say, I mean, first and foremost, I am a visionary, but I'm not great at implementation.
Okay.
And so my team is hands down exceptional. I mean, the detail, the project management, the processes, the lists, just they've pulled all-nighters. They're just absolutely incredible and exceptional. So I personally feel okay.
Good.
Now, them, I think we've tried to all, you know, just handle each other kindly and gently, knowing we're all just also have to keep up on our projects.
Right.
And the renovation and the grand opening, well, technically it's a soft opening.
Okay.
We are open to the public. However, our big, big grand opening is May 30th. And so we can talk about that later.
Yes,
but.
Yes.
Ultimately, it went so well, Jeff. There was
a great feel there. I mean, we stopped
by
with our family, you know, and obviously kudos to your team. We walked in, your mom was greeting guests. That had to have been really fun as an entrepreneur to have the family involved and, you know, to really be prideful about opening something that is yours.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us your background, Anna? Just kind of share your journey story with us.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, grew up in small town Little Chute.
Yes.
So cute. and my whole family still lives there. My mom, my brothers, I come from a family, a very big family, 21 first cousins, and no one really leaves, as my mom always likes to point out. And I left off to college and went back home, as most do, for a year, kind of get on my feet. And then took a job in Chicago, and I always joke I would take any job that would come to me. So I actually started working in fundraising.
Okay.
Yep. And so at a church.
And your degree in what?
Communications.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
That's good.
Public relations, which is, I guess, funny that I'm sitting here. However, like, you use it everywhere, right?
Right.
So, So moved to Chicago, took a job in fundraising, and kind of got sidetracked, if you will. It taught me so much over 10 years working in Chicago, meeting people, raising millions of dollars for amazing foundations and organizations. And actually then met and married my husband in Chicago. We got married in Milwaukee. I started to get his feet wet with the whole Milwaukee scene. And fast forward, we ended up moving to Milwaukee, suburb of Milwaukee, and absolutely love it. Since we've have three children now.
Okay, very good.
And part of that story
was... We like the recruitment retention story from Chicago to Milwaukee. That's a big part of what we're all about here at The Upswing.
Yeah, and my mom was always pushing back for me to come back to the Appleton area, and it didn't make sense for us as a newly married couple. However, so I took my job. I kept my job in Chicago for a while. So did my husband. We worked out of Chicago, but living in Milwaukee. And then I started to realize after I had my first child that, like, I loved what I was doing. I loved the people. I loved the role, but I didn't get my creative outlet. And okay. I've always been creative. I've always been just intrigued with how businesses work, how creativity, and I never knew really, as I look back, really what that all meant. But now in hindsight, it's like, oh, I was meant to be an entrepreneur.
So what encouraged you to take that risk and kind of get to that passion point in your life? Because that's a hard thing for people to do, right? You get really comfortable and you're like, you got something within you saying, all right, I need to go forth and give this to the world, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. And it wasn't like oh my gosh, all at once. So it was small baby steps. So I was working full time. I had my daughter. She was one at the time. And I had a good friend who was a realtor and kept pushing me to go into home staging. And truthfully, I was like, what is home staging? I don't even know. I mean, like, yeah, sure, they stage houses, but what does that entail? So he kept pushing me, and like many, like most, they're like, well, I'm not going to leave my cush job and feel like just take a leap. So finally, after he pushed and pushed, I was like, all right, fine. I'll stage one house. Okay. Don't pay me. Don't do anything. I'm just going to do it. And if you like it, great. If you don't, maybe it's not my calling.
You got to start somewhere. You got to take that first step. We got to head to break, but we're going to come back with more with Anna Franklin, CEO and founder of Stonehouse Collective. We're going to talk about, hey, if I'm going to hire an interior designer, what does that look and feel like? I want to ask her the two easiest things that I can do right now, design-wise, to prepare my house for sale. We're not moving, but let's just say we would. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. This past Saturday, Stonehouse Collective, a new full-service interior design brick-and-mortar shop in Shorewood, opened. We're talking all things interior design, home renovation, and more. With all the work and fanfare that kind of comes with an opening, somehow co-founder and CEO Anna Franklin found time to spend a little bit of it with us today on The Upswing. So I'm thankful that you took the time, Anna.
Thank you.
So what do I need to know, or what do we all need to know before we hire an interior designer? You know, what's that process? What's it going to cost me? What's the worth? What's the value? Kind of walk me through. All right, I'm ready. How do I do it?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing that we always tell our clients that come to us or potential clients is not all interior designers are created equal as people, right? So just do your homework, do your due diligence, understand, maybe interview a few, because we always, if someone comes only to us, we want people to be educated. We want them to make educated decisions. We want to make sure that it's a mutual relationship.
It's a pretty personal thing,
it
right?
Is.
It's our homes, no matter where you live or what you have or what you don't have. It's a personal selection process.
Right. And it's a long process, especially if you're building. I mean, you might be intimately with that person for a year or two or three, depending. If it's a smaller project, still, you get to know their family. You get to know how they live in their house, how they function in their house. You're looking in their closets. So to answer your question, I think it's really understanding like their services and the deliverables and what feels right. And as far as costs, again, not everyone is created equal. And we always, I've talked to so many designers across the country, and there is no standard for billing. Some bill hourly, some bill by project, some square footage, and some percentage.
Okay.
And so really understanding, I would say the majority of designers are, it's an open conversation. I think there's always a price tag shock of like, oh, that's, I have to pay you? And it's like, well, yeah, you have to pay me for my ideas, my time, my project management. So what's it going to cost? Again, how we handle it is we need to understand your scope of work. We need to understand what you're trying to accomplish.
I mean, it's a professional services contract.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And so understanding, hey, do you just need a sofa in your room, or are you looking for every selection, blueprint, you know, reviewing blueprints, working with them? And so it's really understanding the scope of work before you can get a fair price.
And are there short-term and long-term deals that you work with? You know, will people come to you and say, I just need a room?
1,000%.
Like, just come to my living room, tell me what I need to do, thank you, I'll pay you X, and I'll move on.
So we, with the store opening, this was a huge opportunity for us, and we knew it was going to come. So we've started this program called the Demi. The Demi essentially is 1 to 3 rooms. It will cost you anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 for us to come out, take a full scope of work, understand your space, give you a furniture layout, design board, and then actually help you purchase the items based on our recommendations. That's a smaller scale project for us. Whereas we might get someone that's more of a full service. And then in that case, we work with them from down to, again, reviewing blueprints, working with contractors, working with GCs on a remodel or ground up new build. And we're picking literally everything from the door hinge, the door handle, the faucet, where the faucet's going to lay, the elevation of the light, all the way down to what accessory is going to go on the custom built in.
So from a business standpoint, having like the home builder as a client is optimal for you because you get to work on all their projects, correct?
Yes. I mean, yeah, that would be exceptional. Yes.
Very good. So I kind of teased it right before the break. So if I want to just do two quick things.
Yep.
My home today. You haven't seen my home, but but let's just say a home in general. What are those two things that prepares it well to show?
So I would say paint is magic. People forget, like they always paint their house when they're about to move. And it's so unfortunate because paint can change a space. It's not that expensive. Paint and wallpaper can change the entire feeling of a space. As far as like the decor, we believe big in buy once, buy it right. So for us, it's really understanding the space, the scale, and the flow. We want to help you, or any designer probably wants to help you, to make sure that you're buying it right, and buying it once so that you can move it with you, not have to, you know, throw it in a dumpster. So I would say paint and then just buying quality.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. I want to walk through some of the trends in interior design from Homes and Gardens magazine. I'm going to quiz you a little bit on those and get some insight when we come back from the break. But I do want to get kind of talk about the colors. You know, color is a deeply personal thing. What's hot? What's not? How do you pick stuff that works? How does it impact the light and the flow of the space? All this and much, much more when we come back from the break. Welcome back to The Upswing, a brand new Milwaukee-based full-service interior design firm opened this past Saturday in beautiful village of Shorewood on Oakland Avenue. Owner and CEO Anna Franklin joins us today, and she's enjoying us too, I think. You know, we enjoy each other's company, and we're talking trends and more. So I had mentioned that I found an article about the 11 big trends in interior design from Homes and Gardens. I want to walk through these with you and quiz you a little bit. But first, what are you just seeing right now? Kind of what are the hot items in the home? People coming into the store and the clients you're working with, what are they starting out with?
Yeah, so I would say neutrals, naturals, a lot of texture, a lot of warmth. Really thinking through the multi-layers and cool tones, like your cool blues, your whites that feel like have a blue undertone. Those are out. I know gray was a really big color for a long time. It's gone.
Okay. All right.
So we'll be painting over a lot of gray with a warmer option, whether that's a taupe or a warmer white or even browns.
So even like those kind of beautiful blue palettes, like that's not emerging
That's a tricky one.
Like cool and calming, like that. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, but it would be like a warmer blue.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be like a cool, like too much gray undertone. It'd be a warmer undertone.
Like a Renew blue or like a Blue Nova or something that's, you know, not too popping, not too dull, but just
that would pair well with like a taupey color or warm white or a brown. Really, blue, I don't think ever really goes out. It's just maybe the undertones of the blue.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What do clients ask about you know, how do I make my home smell the right way?
Yeah.
That's something you get. In a couple weeks, I'm having the GMs from the St. Kate and the Pfister on together.
Nice.
And something that always fascinates me about hotels is you walk in, and obviously they're there to create an experience and an allure, but there's just these amazing smells that are coming, you know, probably from some technology-based products that are pumping in things that are going to make me feel a certain way. And it's the same way with a home. Do clients ask you, hey, what are your recommendations, whether it's candles or whatnot?
Yeah, so, I mean, hotels specifically, I'm the same way, Jeff. I'm like, walk into a hotel, I'm like, God, what is that smell? Or even like a high-end condo.
Right, I want to take this you know, take some from the air and bring it to my house.
Well, they legitimately pump it through like HVAC, or they have these little misters, because I've gone on the search of like looking in all the corners of these places. They really do have misters. And so I don't know that I get to that extent with homes where like we're putting, you know, something in their HVAC system or something within like a mister in their home, but more of like a air diffuser. And so, yes, to your point, especially with people wanting to be more clean and they maybe don't want the smoke or chemicals burning.
Right.
So, there's definitely, even when you get down to candles, people want clean candles. They want clean things burning in their home, whether it's burning or whether it's blowing like an air diffuser. And so we've gone down this kind of rabbit hole of researching this because we at the store have our own signature scent.
Okay.
And part of our motto is we want to hit all five senses in the first 5 seconds that you walk in the door.
A scent that you created with a team out of...
So we actually have someone on our team that hand pours candles and she's mixed, I guess you could call her like a mixologist, if you will.
Right.
But she actually came up with a scent that I am obsessed with. And so as you come into the store, you'll actually smell that. But, you know, to specifically answer your question, yes, people want certain smells in their house. Some people are drawn to floral notes. Some are drawn to more earthy, organic smells, or maybe a combination of both. And so we do get asked, I would say, anything that's like too florally, most people don't like, or like a fake linen-y smell sometimes can be like, okay, that doesn't actually smell.
Okay.
So there's a lot of science.
Let's talk a little bit more when we come back from the break about the trends to stay away from. I'm going to go back to a couple of trends that I'm seeing, and I want to talk about specifically the store location and what that process was for you. We'll be right back. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing, an entrepreneurial journey into interior design with Anna Franklin from Stonehouse Collective. Continues to join us for a couple more segments here on The Upswing. So I wanted to get to some of these trends because we ran out of time in the last block. Are people still bringing the outdoors inside the moss walls and those type of things? Is that something you're getting from clients?
Yeah. I mean, we love greenery. It brings an entire element a sense of life, a sense of purity. We don't feel like a design or a space is complete without some sort of living plants. I know people sometimes don't think they can keep them alive.
Right. It becomes stressful maybe, but you can do it.
You can do it.
There's health benefits for sure. Health and wellness.
Yes. And there's certain plants that literally you don't have to do anything to. So yes, absolutely. Moss walls. We don't see that so much in residential. I would say more commercial.
Okay.
If you have the budget to do it in residential, awesome. But most times that's not like a huge priority.
Okay. What about sustainable options in terms of mixed metals and brass and bronze and nickel and industrial? Like, what are you seeing from sustainability? Is that a question you're getting asked?
Not so much maybe that specifically. Sustainability is a very hot topic in the furniture world. As far as like the metal and the mixed metals, I don't know that I get that so much. It's more of cushion construction. How is it made? How long is it going to last me? Do I have to buy this once? Is it a throwaway sofa? I think we live in the world of fast fashion, and I'm sensing and seeing firsthand that this next generation, they want you know, sustainability. They want products that last. And so it's really reassuring to see and to be able to have something to show them and provide them. So, mixed metals absolutely can still do.
Right.
But as far as sustainability, I don't get that specific question too much.
All right. On Thursday's show, we do Fast Forward Wisconsin, the future of almost everything. And we're going to talk about the future of fashion and the future of furniture terms of, you know, what legislation is coming down the road to encourage designers to, you know, source locally and to have products and stuff that we're putting on our body that is better for us. It's definitely front and forward for everyone.
Yeah, and definitely. I mean, all of our upholstery is made in the United States, and we're very, very proud of that.
Okay. So a little bit about location-based. You know, why the North Shore of Wisconsin when, you know, there's a lot of locations around the greater Milwaukee area? Why did you land where you landed in terms of opening your store?
There's a smidge of just I live in the North Shore.
Okay, all right. Convenience.
Convenience.
That's right.
The majority of our staff lives in the North Shore.
Okay.
I have always envisioned being able to bike to work and just live and work and bike. Quality of life for me has always been important. Truthfully, we looked all over Milwaukee. So it wasn't a lack of trying to find other places. But when we walked into the old Bonobo No Star Bistro, it felt home. And it just had such great energy, and I could see behind the bar and the refrigerator and all of the things that needed to come out. But and I felt like the North Shore was missing this a little bit, where in the community, we focus on upholstery, right? So we have accessories, we have art, we have lighting, but like upholstery, where you can come in to your neighborhood shop, grab whatever it might be, design advice, a new sofa, or just come play. I want it to be this European vibe where people walk in, they grab a cup of coffee. Hey, what's up? And, you know, maybe they're on their way that day.
Walkable communities are so very important. So passion and entrepreneurial struggles and opportunities. I want to wrap up our conversation when we come back. This is The Upswing. We are talking with Anna Franklin from Stonehouse Collective. We'll be right back. Love you more than my home. Welcome back to The Upswing. A big thank you to Anna Franklin from Stonehouse Collective. I love the origin and entrepreneurial stories. It's a big part of what we're all about here on The Upswing. So, Anna, what's the experience been like as a female entrepreneur owning your own business, growing into a new space, especially now that it's open? Do you have this feeling of relief, or are you now even more worried about what's going to happen? You know, just kind of walk us through that. Okay, now it's here as an entrepreneur. What's next?
I'm not worried yet.
Okay, all right, that's good. That's
I'm not
good.
Known to be a worrier. I am beyond excited. I feel energized. I feel that it's just, I have this sense it's just going to work.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been blessed with this gift of just like, it's going to work. It's going to be fine. Some months might be better than others sometimes, but you and I were talking earlier offline about, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Right.
What's the absolute worst? As long as everyone's living and breathing and no one's hurt, we got this.
Yeah.
And I tell my staff that all the time, like, we got this. And so a sense of relief for everybody. But again, we keep saying pardon our dust. There are some things that still need to be wrapped up.
Yeah,
so I'll be happy when everyone's like out.
Yeah. Those jumping off stories for entrepreneurs, it's different for everyone for sure. And there's, you got to take everything into consideration. But I remember on a couple ventures that I jumped into, I remember my dad saying, you know what, Jeff, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And you kind of go through that scenario and you're like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm going to learn something. I may fail 5 or 6 times, but I'm going to learn along the way and things are going to be okay.
Absolutely. It is 100% true.
So is that your advice for other entrepreneurs, whether it's in the home remodeling or design space? You know, what's your advice for other female entrepreneurs in the Milwaukee area?
Try it. What's the worst that's going to happen? It doesn't work. All right. Well, as my mom says, you know, pick up your boots and keep going. And I think there's no risk in trying. Now, I'm not going to suggest you take out a $300,000 loan and you haven't done your due diligence and you haven't done a business plan. I mean, there is, yes, some logical work that needs to go into it. However, I took $1,000 out of my pocket and used my neighbor's pickup truck to start. Like, there are ways to start, but I will say it is a lot of work. Yes. And so it is not for the faint of heart. But again, if you've got the drive, you've got the energy, you've got the idea and the excitement, do it. Try it.
That's right. Everything is hard work, but it's all worth it.
Yes.
So how do you, from a client standpoint now, like, how do you know when to say yes, when to say no, in terms of bigger jobs too? I'm sure there's things coming at you. You're like, well, this would be great, but we might not be ready for it yet. How do you and your team make those decisions?
I'm learning to trust my gut more and more.
Okay.
There's definitely been projects where, you know, again, we're a small business. We needed the job and we didn't follow up our process. We didn't loop the whole team in and it hadn't turned out the way we had hoped. So I think as we grow and as we're more public facing now, I think we need to continue to follow our process. We need to continue to just be true to ourselves. We provide a fantastic service. Our team is exceptional. However, sometimes people just don't understand design like we talked about earlier. So we need to learn to walk away.
Do you ever
sometimes.
Get asked to do something that's outside of scope, and how do you handle that? Like,
oh, yeah.
Let's say, well, I need a garden done, and you're like, whoa, this is a huge project. There's a lot I'm going to figure out. I'm going to bring in subcontractors. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that because financially, it makes sense.
Yes, yes. Today. We're doing that today.
Okay, well, there you go.
I decided I was going to take a stage. I don't really stage anymore. And the opportunity was too great. The client was too great. The opportunity and...
So staging a house, preparing it for sale?
No.
No.
To live in for 4 months.
Ooh,
it was
okay.
A luxury.
A temporary residence? Okay.
Yes, it was all a luxury right. client. And they were willing to work with us. And so... I'm like, you guys, we're staging again. They're like, excuse me? And I'm like, it's just too good to pass up. I think that it could lead to bigger things. And so we're doing it. So I'm known to say yes.
That's good.
And I'm known to figure it out. And I think as a small business, still relatively a young business, you can't miss opportunities sometimes. And so sometimes, again, they don't end always the way you want. But like anything, you learn from it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great touch point right there. You know, figure out a way to get to yes. You might not be exactly the yes that you think,
right.
But always moving forward and kind of powering onward and upward, it's going to usually work out.
Yes, and someone always told me this. It might, even if you say yes, or it might not always be a yes right now, but like, yes, I can get there, or yes, I want to, but just give me a moment to figure it out. You don't always have to have the answer the minute someone asks you.
All right. Anna Franklin from Stonehouse Collective. Where, just to wrap up, we got about 30 seconds. Where do you get your inspiration from, whether it's design-wise or just in life as in general as an entrepreneur?
I get a lot of it from just honestly being alone outside, nature.
Yeah, that's good. Taking daily walks, those gratitude walks, being thankful for things in our lives. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're all about here on The Upswing.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the time you spent today. Best of luck with the new location. And we will see you around Shorewood for sure.
Thank you.
This is The Upswing.